إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد And to continue with Lum'atul I'tiqad, the Book of Creed and Belief compiled by Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last week we had the last section with regard to al-istiwa and al-ulu. Allah the Most High has been ascended over the throne and has been high and above. And we had a quote from a famous Imam. So who can remember first of all, who was the famous Imam whom the quote was, who the quote was from? That's from Imam Malik, famous Imam Malik. Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah. Who can remember where Imam Malik was born and lived and died? Yeah, Al-Madinah. Salaam alaikum. City of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Madinah. Who can remember, or who can give me the conversation which he had, which the Imam mentioned, meaning the whole conversation. Lord mentioned that it was a conversation with Imam Malik that a man came and asked about Allah's attribute of al-istiwa. He said, "Kayfa istiwa? How did Allah ascend?" So then Imam Malik, salam alaikum, Imam Malik responded to the man who had asked, "How does Allah ascend?" and said that the ascending is not unknown, and how cannot be comprehended. And having iman in it, believing in it, is obligatory. And asking about how Allah ascends, this is an innovation. And I do not see except that you are a man of evil. And he ordered him to be expelled, thrown out from the circle. So Imam Malik, amongst what he said, was as-su'alu anhu bid'ah. And asking about it is an innovation. Asking about what? Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, asking about what? Because the actual word here, وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ. And asking about it is an innovation. It, what is the it in the being referred to? Asking about what is an innovation? Asking about the kayfiyyah, asking about how Allah ascends, how that attribute is of Allah. That is an innovation. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that some people of innovation, they come and they take this quote from Imam Malik, and they say it means asking about the meaning of Allah's attribute. That is an innovation. We're not allowed to ask about Allah's attributes, what they mean, and in fact, they say, we don't give any meaning to them. We don't know any meaning to these attributes. And they try and use this quote of Imam Malik as a support for their saying. They say, look, because Imam Malik told this man here, asking about the meaning of the attribute, going into the meaning, isn't innovation. So we don't go into the meaning, we don't affirm any meaning. That's what they say. And they try and use this quote of Imam Malik. How did Shaykh al-Fawzan reply to this, and respond to this, to show what they're doing is wrong here? Responded that what we don't know is how, the how of Allah's attribute. That's what we don't know. But as for the meaning of the attribute, then that is known, as Imam Malik, and this is what Imam clearly said, opposite to what these people say. They say the meaning of Allah's attributes, of each attribute, is not known. They can't use the quote of Imam Malik to support themselves, because Imam Malik said the opposite. He said that, with regard to the meaning, al-istiwa'u ghayru majhool. The ascending is not unknown, whereas they say it is unknown. And likewise, this man, he was coming and he was asking about how. He wasn't asking about the meaning of the attribute, he was asking about how. So the response of Imam Malik, as in response to his question, was with regard to the how. But asking about how it is, isn't innovation. Not asking about the meaning, because the meaning is something known. Then with regard to what follows, then the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he brings a section to which here they give a heading, Faslun fi ithbat sifat al-kalam, section with regard to affirmation of the attribute of speech, attribute of al-kalam, of speech. So this is a section here affirming a further attribute of Allah the Most High, which is the attribute of al-kalam, of speech. Shaykh al-Fawzan begins the explanation of this section by saying, having introduced this title here, because to mark it off as a separate section, separate from what's followed, he comments and says, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and it occurs on page 108, of the Egyptian edition that most of us have got hold of, and you'll find it on page 107 of the Saudi edition. So, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, having spoken about some of the attributes in what preceded, he singles out the attribute of speech with a chapter specific to it. And that is because of the importance of this matter. And because of the great amount of misguidance and deviation that has occurred regarding it. So therefore, he separated it from what came before it, because of its importance and because of the great amount of deviation, or rather the great amount of disagreement that has occurred regarding it. With regard to the matter of Allah's speech, then the deviant sects have brought many different sayings with regard to it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic's attribute of speech is like the rest of the attributes. So Allah's attribute of kalam, of speech, is like the rest of the attributes. So Allah the Majestic and Most High has the attribute that he speaks however he wishes. He, the perfect. And whenever he wishes, he speaks however he wishes, and whenever he wishes. And his speech, his kalam, is from those attributes which are actions. وَكَلَامُهُ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ His speech is from those attributes of his which are actions, which he does whenever he wishes. He, the Perfect and Most High. He spoke in the past, and he will speak in the future, and he will speak on the day of resurrection. Whenever he, the Perfect and Most High, wishes to speak, he speaks. Whenever he wishes to speak, he speaks. And the speech of Allah is eternal in its type. And here's the word here, Qadim. And Qadim with the meaning of it being eternal. I mean ancient, with no beginning. So, and the speech of Allah is eternal in its time. I mean, as an attribute for Allah, what his meaning is, as an attribute for Allah, it's always existed, always, without any beginning. As an attribute for Allah, that he has an attribute of speech, it's always existed. So he said the speech of Allah is in its type eternal, just like the rest of the attributes. And in its individual cases, are new. In speech, as an attribute of Allah, is eternal. Allah has always had the attribute of speech. As for individual cases of when Allah speaks, such as Allah the Most High speaking to Musa, alayhi salam, or Allah the Most High speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj, then these individual cases of Allah speaking, these newly come about. So as the Shaykh said, وَكَلَامُ اللَّهِ قَدِيمٌ نَوْعٌ مِثْلُ سَائِرِ الصِّفَاتِ حَادِثُ الْآحَادِ And the speech of Allah, and this phrase here is important to understand, because many people have done astray with regard to this what's being stated here. And the speech of Allah is eternal in its time, like the rest of the attributes. And its individual cases newly come about. Then Shaykh Fawzan explains and says, meaning, the attribute of speech with regard to itself is eternal. So Allah has always spoken. Because He, the Perfect, along with His speech, is eternal. And has always existed. Because He, the Perfect, along with His speech, has always existed and is eternal. There was no beginning for Him, He, the Perfect and Most High. And there was no beginning for His names and His attributes and His actions, He, the Perfect and Most High. Allah, the Most High Himself, and His names and His attributes and His actions are eternal. They never began. There was never a beginning for them. I mean, there was never a time when Allah or His attributes or His actions did not exist. Then he said, as for the individual cases of his speech, then they newly occur and come about, one and then the next. He speaks whenever he wishes, He, the Perfect and Most High. Just like the rest of His attributes, which are actions. As we've had before, the principle with regard to Allah's attributes of itself is that the attributes of Allah's self have always existed. And as for His actions, His attributes which are actions, then they are connected to His mashi'ah, to His wish and will. He does those actions whenever He wishes, as He wishes. So the attributes which are actions are connected to Allah's mashi'ah, to His will and His wish. He does them when He wishes. Shaykh said, and this is the belief and creed of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the belief and creed of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And the ayahs and the ahadith regarding this are many. The author, rahimahullah, will bring a number of them. The Imam in this book, Imam Ibn Qudama, he will bring a number of these evidences. Some evidences from the book, and evidences from the Sunnah, affirming a speech as an attribute for Allah the Most High. Then the Shaykh said, and no one disagrees with regard to the attribute of speech, illa al-jahmiyyah. And the Egyptian print, there's a printing here, it says illa, it should be illa, the alif and lam, lam alif, illa, except for. No one disagrees with regard to the attribute of speech, except for the jahmiyyah. And those deviated sects who drank from the same source as them. Misguided sects who drank from the same drinking place as them. The Jahmiya say, so the Shaykh means now to mention some of the positions of the deviated sects, some of the incorrect positions with regard to Allah's speech. He starts with the same of the Jahmiya, those deniers of the attributes. He says, the Jahmiya say, Allah does not speak. They blatantly say, Allah does not speak. Rather, He created the speech in something else, either in Jibreel or in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the saying of the Jahmiyyah, those deniers of the attributes. They say, Allah, as for Allah Himself, He does not speak. They deny it, He doesn't speak. Rather, He created the speech in something else, either in Jibreel or either in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they further say, and the speech being ascribed to Allah, because of course the Quran is known as the speech of Allah, the Quran is the speech of Allah. So they have to explain the fact, why is the Quran called the speech of Allah if Allah does not speak? So they say, they add on and they say, and the speech, or and speech being ascribed to Allah, is a case of ascribing something created to its creator. That's what they say, that's what the Jahmiyyah say. They say when it said the speech of Allah, it means that created thing, created speech, which Allah created. So it's a created thing ascribed to its creator. So Allah, the Majestic and Most High, cannot be described, in their view, with speech, at all. And the one who speaks is just a created being. In whom Allah created speech. Either Jibreel or otherwise Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is their speech. This is what the Jahmiyyah say. But Allah does not Himself speak. He just creates speech in the creation. And this was also the position of the Mu'tazila. So the position of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah was the same. They negate, they deny, they negate speech from Allah. and they say that the speech of Allah is something created. In other words, so don't be fooled if you see the Jahmiyyah or the Mu'tazila, they affirm something called the speech of Allah. Doesn't mean they affirm that as an attribute for Allah. They're affirming something they hold to be created. Because they say Allah does not speak. And when they say the speech of Allah, they mean something created within the creation. And it's ascribed to Allah only as a created thing being ascribed to its creator. Then the Shaykh moves on to another deviated sect with regard to what they say about Allah's speech. He says, the Ash'aris. He said, the Ash'aris wanted to gather between mutually contradictory sayings. So they said, Allah is described with having the attribute of al-kalam al-nafsi. That Allah is described with having the attribute of speech within His self only. So this is the saying of the Ash'aris. They say the speech of Allah, what it means, it's something existing within Himself. It's a meaning, an attribute existing just within Himself. And as a side point, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation, then he said, they say the speech of Allah is a meaning existing within Himself, not connected to His wish and will. It's something just, they said, this is what the Ash'aris say, that speech of Allah is just something existing within Himself. Not something that He does when he wishes, as He wishes, no. Just something existing within Himself, speech of His self, speech within Himself. Shaykh Fawzan said, continuing with what they say, the Ash'aris, His speech exists within His self only, and He does not speak with letters that can be heard, nor with a voice that can be heard. Rather, it is just speech within the self. And it was Jibreel who expressed it in words, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who expressed it in words. So this Quran, in the view of the Ash'aris, is just an expression of the speech of Allah, expressed in words by Jibreel, or expressed in words by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who expressed in words the meaning existing within Allah's self. This is the saying of the Ash'aris. They say the Quran that we have, is just an expression. The wording is from either Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam or from Jibreel alayhi salam. And it's just an expression of what? Something existing in Allah's self. Something Allah wanted to say but didn't say. It's the saying of the Ash'aris. The Shaykh said, so the meaning of the Quran is from Allah. I can continue with what the Ash'aris say. So the meaning of the Quran is from Allah. But as for its wordings, then that is from a created being. So they combine between contradictory things. They declare the Quran to be something created and something not created. They declare the Quran to be something created and at the same time, something not created. Created with regard to the wordings and the letters, and not created with regard to the meaning. And this is batil, this is false and futile, and tanaqud, and this is self-contradiction. Then the Shaykh mentions the correct position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to the Qur'an. He said, and the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, they say, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah with regard to its wording and its meaning. It is not just the speech of Allah with regard to the letters without the meanings, nor with regard to the meanings without the letters. Rather, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah in its wording and its meaning. Allah spoke with it in reality. Jibreel heard it, and he conveyed it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh is affirming here the correct position. Something these early people deviation, they deny. They deny that Jibreel heard the Qur'an from Allah. Because they say Allah's speech cannot be heard. It's just something existing within himself. His speech cannot be heard. So Shaykh mentioned this is the true reality. Allah spoke with the Qur'an in reality. Jibreel heard it and he conveyed it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, and Musa alayhi salam heard the speech of Allah. Which is the example of another Prophet alayhi salam who heard the speech of Allah. The example of Musa, he mentioned the case of Musa alayhi salam. He said, and Musa alayhi salam heard the speech of Allah. And Allah spoke to Musa with speech, directly, without any intermediary. And therefore Musa was particularized as being the Kalimullah, the one to whom Allah spoke directly. Musa alayhi salam had a particular title, Kalimullah, the one to whom Allah spoke. And the Shaykh quotes the ayah, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مِنَّنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Baqarah, 253, the start of the second juz, with the explanation, the start of the third juz. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ With the explanation, those are the messengers we gave excellence to some of them over others. From them were those to whom Allah spoke. From them were those to whom Allah spoke. The Shaykh said, and he was Musa alayhi salam. I mean the one mentioned in the ayah, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ that from them was some or one to whom Allah spoke. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he was Musa alayhi salam. So Musa was particularized from amongst the messengers that he was Kalimullah, he was the one to whom Allah spoke directly. His Lord spoke to him with speech without any intermediary. And Musa heard his speech. And just as a side point here, there's something which we had in the explanation of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah as well, that the explainer of Tahawiyyah, Ibn Abd al-Izz, he made the point with regard to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was the Khalil of Allah, the especially beloved one of Allah. And that it's authentic that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared with Ibrahim with regard to that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in the authentic narration, he was also the Khalil of Allah. That Allah took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Khalil, especially beloved, just as he took Ibrahim as a Khalil, especially beloved. Then Ibn Abd al-Izz said, and likewise with regard to being spoken to, which is confirmed for Musa salawatullahi alayhi, then our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared with him in that also, as is established in the hadith of Al-Isra, the hadith of the ascent through the heavens, the night journey and the ascent through the heavens. In other words, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also spoken to directly by Allah the Most High on the day, on the night of the night journey and the ascent through the heavens. So that's just as a side point here. Then back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, brings, he said, and likewise Allah, the Majestic and Most High, will speak to His servants on the day of resurrection. He will speak to the people of Jannah. He will speak to the people of Paradise. And he will give them greetings of peace and security. And they will respond to his greetings with speech which they will hear. I mean, Allah the Most High will greet them with greetings of peace and security, which they will hear with speech, which they will hear. They will see him openly with their eyes, just as they can see the moon on the night when it is full, and just as they can see the sun clearly when it is not obscured by clouds. And again, as a side point, in case someone misunderstands here, the Shaykh is not making the point here. What he's making the point here that is that, as occurs in the hadith and in the explanation of the hadith, what is meant by this is that just as the people in this life can see the sun and the moon clearly, then likewise on the day of resurrection the believers will clearly see Allah. That's what the meaning of it. It doesn't mean any likeness between Allah and the sun or the moon, as some people might misunderstand. No, not at all. It just means that just as in this life you can clearly see the sun and clearly see the moon when there's nothing obscuring them, then likewise on the day of resurrection the believers will clearly see Allah. Then he said, and he will speak to them and give them greetings of peace and security, and they will hear his speech and they will respond to him, the greeting of peace and security. So Allah the Majestic and Most High spoke, and he speaks whenever he wishes, he the Perfect and Most High, with speech which is real in its wording and its meaning. And as for how he speaks, then that we do not know. As a point here, where some of the people in innovation, they come and they say, you affirm that Allah speaks, then that would mean this and it would mean that, it would mean... No, we don't go into the like of that. As the Shaykh said, as for how he speaks, then that we do not know. This is not known except to Allah the Perfect and Most High. So his speech is not like the speech of the created being. We do not say that he speaks just as the creation speaks. We don't say that. Rather we say, he speaks just as he wishes, he the Perfect and Most High, and however he wishes. And no one knows how his speech is except for him, he the Perfect and Most High. Just the same as with the rest of his attributes. Then he begins, or then begins the quote of the actual Imam Ibn Qudamah himself, where he said in the text here, وَمِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ أَنَّهُ مُتَكَلِّمٌ بِكَلَامٍ قَدِيمٍ. And from the attributes of Allah the Most High is that he is one who speaks with eternal speech. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, he's saying with eternal speech, eternal in its time. As the Shaykh began in his explanation here, meaning that Allah has always had the attribute of speech. So he said, eternal in its time. But it is not said eternal, unrestrictedly, like that. And we don't say with regard to Allah's speech, that his speech is eternal, and leave it without making restriction or without explaining. We just leave it like that. He said, rather it is eternal with regard to his type, newly coming about in its individual cases. Meaning, speech as his attribute is eternal, but as for its individual cases, then they newly come about and occur whenever Allah wishes. He, the Perfect and Most High. Then the quote of the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues, يَسْمَعُهُ مِنْهُ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. It is heard from him by whomever he wishes from his creation. Shaykh Fawzan said, it is heard from him by whomever he wishes from his creation. Jibreel alayhi salam heard it and carried it and conveyed it to his prophets. And it was heard by Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. So he mentions two examples, two cases of those who heard Allah's speech directly from Allah himself. The case of Jibreel, who then conveyed it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Then the quote of the Imam in the main text continues, سَمِعَهُ مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنْهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ وَاسِقَىٰ. Musa alayhi salam heard it from him without any intermediary. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is something which there is no doubt about, that Musa alayhi salam heard the speech of his Lord without any intermediary between him and Allah. And therefore he was particularized, or therefore Musa was particularized with this particular quote, with this tremendous special characteristic from amongst his brothers, the Prophets, in the characteristic that he was Kalimullah, the one to whom Allah spoke directly. And the quote of the Imam in the main text continues, وَسَمِعَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And it was heard by Jibreel alayhi salam. Shaykh Fawzan said, likewise Allah particularized Jibreel alayhi salam that he heard his speech, and the inhabitants of the heavens, I mean the angels, and the inhabitants of the heavens heard it from Jibreel. And when they heard it, they fell unconscious. As occurs in the hadith of An-Nawwas ibn Sam'an and others, who said, when Allah spoke with the revelation, the heavens quaked or shook severely. And when the inhabitants of the heavens heard it, they fell unconscious. And they fell down in prostration to Allah. In a footnote here, with regard to this, what's been mentioned here, then is it with regard to or taken from a narration. And they mention here that this narration is reported by Al-Tabari in his tafsir and Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, with regard to explanation of his saying, He the Most High, حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّئَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Surah Sabah, 34th Surah, Ayah 23. In tafsir of the ayah, At-Tabari and Ibn Kathir, they bring this narration. A narration of An-Nawwas ibn Sam'an, they bring this narration. Also reported, as they say here, by Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi in his book, Ta'zim Qadr al-Salah. As for this being a hadith from, as a side point, with regard to this being a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a narration of An-Nawwas ibn Sam'an, then Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentioned this being a weak narration because of the narrator, Nu'aym ibn Hammad, who is a great scholar and Imam of the Sunnah, who died, or he stood firm with regard to the trial of the Qur'an, and was killed for that. With regard to narrations of hadith, then it was a weakness in the chain of narration. However, the basis of the hadith is authentic from other companions, such as the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So again, that's an additional point. The hadith we had before, hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah decrees an affair from above the heavens, then the angels beat their wings in submission to his saying. It is as if it is a chain being dragged across a rock, you what the angels hear. And when the terror is removed from their hearts, they say, what has your Lord just said? They say the truth, back to the end of the hadith. The hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith number 4800. And also narrated from other companions, a narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as will follow, insha'Allah. Then the quote of the Imam ibn Qudamah, he continues, وَمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ مِنْ مَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. Continuing from the point that, and it was heard by Jibreel alayhi salam, then he said, and by whomever he permitted from his angels and messengers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and his speech was heard by whomever, and his speech was heard by whomever Allah permitted his speech to be heard by, from the angels, or from his angels and his messengers, like Musa alayhi salam, and like Jibreel. Then the quote of Imam ibn Qudamah continues, وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يُكَلِّمُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُكَلِّمُونَهُ. And that he, the perfect, will speak to the believers in the hereafter, and they will speak to him. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, fil Jannah, in paradise this will happen, in Jannah, in paradise. He will speak to the believers, Allah the Most High, he will speak to the believers, and they will speak to him without any intermediary. They will hear his speech and see him, he the perfect and most high, and this is in Jannah, in paradise. Then the quote of the Imam continues with what we'll take as the last part this time, insha'Allah. وَيَأْذَنُ لَهُمْ فَيَزُورُونَهُ. And he will grant permission for them, and they will visit him. And he will grant permission for them, and they will visit him. In a footnote, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they will visit him at a certain time, and they will gather at a place in paradise, in Jannah. And then he, the perfect and most high, will manifest himself to them. He will show himself to them, and they will see him. And he will speak to them, and they will speak to him. Because Allah will give them on the day of resurrection the strength and the ability which enables them to see Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and to hear his speech. But as for in this world, then no one is able to see Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And just as a final side point with regard to this, and with regard to the point that Allah the Most High will permit the people, they give permission to them, and they will pay a visit to him, they will visit him, then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said in his explanation, he's saying, and he will permit them, and they will visit him. He said, because of the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of paradise, when they enter it, will descend in places in accordance with their actions. Then permission will be granted for them on the equivalent of the day of Jumu'ah, from the days of the world, and they will visit their Lord. The hadith reported by Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi, and he said gharib, strange or weak, and it was declared weak by Al-Albani. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, rahimahullah, is this hadith was declared weak by Shaykh al-Albani. And in a quote that they mentioned, indeed Shaykh al-Albani declared it weak in his book Al-Da'ifah, hadith number 1722. And he declared it weak because of the narrator, Humayd ibn Habib ibn Abd al-Ishrayn. And a second narrator, Hisham ibn Ammar, has a weak chain of narration. So just in case someone takes this as being something authentic, that on the day of judgment, that the people will visit Allah on a certain day, and the light on the day of Jumu'ah, and so on, that hadith is not authentic. So we don't base our beliefs on the like of a hadith that's not authentic. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. With regard to what follows, then we'll leave it till next time, inshallah. Any questions or on the topic or points of clarification? That last one. With regard to the point that the people will visit Allah, then in the explanation Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned that this is referring to this hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet is quoted in the hadith as having said, the people of paradise, when they enter it, will settle in places in accordance with their actions. Then permission will be granted to them on the equivalent of the day of Jumu'ah from the days of the world, on the equivalent of the day of Friday from the days of the world, and they will visit their Lord. The hadith continues, part of a longer hadith. Then as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, hadith being reported by Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi, At-Tirmidhi said, gharib, this word which means it's singular or weak, or both, singular and weak. And it was also, he said, and declared weak by Al-Albani, the great scholar of hadith, Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Oh, and the weak narrators, if you refer to the book Al-Da'ifah, you'll see that Shaykh Al-Albani declared it weak because of the narrators. Abdul Hamid ibn Habib ibn Abd al-Ishrayn. And the narrator also, Hisham ibn Ammar. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. What are you doing?
Some new people come to think, they need to come here to say, what's he done?